say hello to somebody as you're seated if you haven't had an opportunity. And listen, we want to encourage you. I know that a lot of us have schedules, and I have a bad habit, I know. You need a teaspoon, and I back up a dump truck. A lot of times I'll go a little bit long, but please try it. Did we lose our mic? Did we lose it? Is it right here? Do you know what it is? Did I get anything at all? There, it's back. It's right in here. Okay, don't move. You know that's impossible for me, brother. Are we good now? No? Back off? Testing one, two. Nothing? Testing one, two. Nada? Nothing? You mean I gotta hold a microphone? You better turn this off. I'll turn this off. Where was that? Romans 8. So we're good here, right? Testing, okay, very good. Alrighty. Romans, can you hear me all right? Some are saying they can't hear me all right. So let's boost it to where we good there? We good there? Okay. Very good. All right. Romans chapter 8. If you've not been with us, we've been talking about for a number of months now the overlying theme, faith. How many have learned a few things together with me about faith? We're glad for the gift given to us when we were born again to be able to trust God. And how many know that faith, according to Scripture, is not my faith, my attempt at trusting and believing God, just me, my little self, on my own. But the faith that I have, when I received Jesus, that faith was a gift from God. And it's the faith of Jesus that has been given to me. So the faith that you have, would you say with me this morning, the faith that I have is not just any old faith. The faith that I have is the faith of Jesus. That's pretty awesome. Now, I know a lot of us don't feel like that. A lot of us haven't learned to walk in it. A lot of us may not understand it. And I will confess to you, I don't know that if we'll ever totally understand all of it. But what I do know is it's in there. And the more I learn, the more I'm able to walk in it to a greater degree. So can you. Amen. So the faith, aren't you glad for faith? Galatians 2:20 says this. You hear it from me all the time. If you're new with us, maybe you haven't heard this in a while or ever. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I was crucified with Christ. He's drawing an analogy here that when he received Jesus as his Lord and Savior, the old him died and a new him came in. I'm very glad today for the new creation. By the confession of faith, heart belief that he is the Son of God. Amen? And so, Galatians 2:20 states, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How many are glad to be alive? Nevertheless, I live. I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Can we stop right there a moment and think about that? If you've never made a profession of faith, man, there is nothing in life that compares to coming into relationship with God. The question being settled, things are okay between me and Him. Not only that, it opens up a door, an incredible, miraculous door called the blessing that we referred to when we first started up. How many are glad today for the blessing of God on those who believe? The life that I live by the faith of the Son of God. By whose faith? By whose faith do we live? By the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. Aren't you glad for that? That's the faith that we live by according to the Word of God. How many are glad for the faith of Jesus in you and me? Now, if you turn your Bibles to Romans 8, most of you I know are already there, so you'll have to wait on me. Romans 8. Romans 8, the most beautiful, beautiful writing, truly, on the message of grace and what it means, Paul, probably, I don't know, I've got so many favorite books, but how I love the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 makes some incredible declarations over us. We were reading this in, I believe it was on Wednesday night as well as in the men's Bible study. You'll start with verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. This is King James that I'm reading out of. And infirmities here, it has nothing to do in the original with any kind of disease or sickness. It has everything to do with human frailty, weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, King James says itself, better translation would be himself, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Isn't that amazing that God sent his Holy Spirit to pray for us continually when we struggle? See, religion has taught us that when we struggle, when we fail, God distances himself until we get our act together. I'm so glad to announce today that he does not distance himself, but he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is with us in our failures and in our shortcomings, and it's then when he makes himself strong in our weaknesses, Paul said to the Corinthians. And here we see that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints. Isn't that awesome? According to the will of God. Now, this is the context for this scripture. You hear this quoted in the world all the time. All things, well, you know, all things, some horrible tragedy has happened, something terrible. Some horrible accident or the senseless loss of a baby or something. And you hear people say, well, all things work together. The inference there is, for some reason, God in his infinite wisdom allowed this, if he didn't at least cause it, to teach us something. Yeah, I struggle with that because Jesus, in John chapter 10, verse 10, announced why he came. And he made it clear that it is the thief, John chapter 10, verse 10, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Please hear me. Don't stick me in a stereotype of preachers that you've heard, and here comes this faith stuff again. Just hear me. Open up your heart. Listen to what I'm telling you. Jesus announced why he came. And he identifies the thief as a thief, and his ministry for what it is. And he said, it is the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come. But I have come. That you might have life and life more. Brother Lee, he's talking about over yonder, one in the sweet by and by, up in heaven, someday. Excuse me, the context and the reference is all within this realm where there is a thief. And he displayed the power of God lovingly and tenderly. Not one time did he lay hands on somebody and take them out. Not one time did he lay hands on somebody and strike them with sickness. Acts 10:38 declares how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. How many are glad for the name of Jesus that is a name above every name? Oh, man. Hallelujah. And so in this verse right here, you hear it. But the context, we just heard it. When we're struggling, the Holy Spirit takes together with the saints, not just anybody. Now, how many know God does hear the cry of the lost? God does hear the cry of the helpless. I'm not saying that he doesn't listen. In fact, he has mercy on all. That's not what I'm saying. But this particular scripture is not given to just anybody. It's given to the saints. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God and received him in your heart and experience what it means to be born again, the Bible calls you a saint. Did you know you were a saint? Husbands, bump your wife right there and tell them, say, I'm a saint. She's like, oh, okay. So, well, listen, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about loving. That's what we're talking about is loving by faith. We're going to get there in a minute, and you'll see why. Right there, we were doing a little bit of loving by faith, wives, as we thought, okay. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. So look at. And we know. So the word and means it's connected to the previous context. That is, when we're struggling, he's taken together and interceding for us. Ah, that is so beautiful. Aren't you glad that when you're struggling, when you're failing, he's not leaving. He's not heading out. He's not turning his back on you. He did that one time for all. When he turned his back, Isaiah 54, turned his back, but for a moment. So that you and I would never be forsaken again. He cried on the cross. The only time he didn't reference Father, but he referenced God. The distance, the separation, real to him as he hung there in our place, willingly, on purpose, because of love, cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken so that you and I would never be forsaken again. In fact, that same Isaiah 54 speaks of the time that we live in when he would establish a covenant of kindness that would last forever. Covenant of kindness. Did you know that you live under a covenant of kindness? Think of that. So it's in that context that we read, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn amongst many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Now he's talking about you and I. Now everybody may not receive this. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. He has given us the choice to receive or reject. So that's so important that the gospel must be preached throughout the world. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them also he glorified. I want you to take a picture of yourself in Jesus. Planned from the beginning, nothing took God by surprise. Predestinated. Say, I'm called. Would you say that with me today? I am called of God. I got a purpose, man. Thomas, we got a purpose. We're here for a reason. Whom he called, he also justified. Justified means made righteous. I don't know about you, but I cannot possibly be righteous after my flesh. I know me too well. I'm human. Cut me, I bleed red. I fail just like you do. You see me standing up with a suit coat on as the pastor. Don't get any ideas that somehow I'm just a little bit better, more perfect than you. I need you. You need me. We both need him. We need the mercy and the grace of God every day. One thing I do know is the more I learn about his love, though, and the more I understand about his grace, the less sin, as Paul said, has a grip on me. I love what he says in Philippians 3. He said, I can't quite get my self wrapped around this thing called grace. There's no way. I've tried. I can't attain it. But it has me. It's got a hold on me. And because of this, I can forget the past and press on forward to what God has called me to do. The mark of my high calling. Say, I'm called. Isn't that great? And justified. Justified. I'm sure you've heard this before. A way to define justified is just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. That's pretty awesome. Say, I'm anointed, full of the glory of God. You may not know that, but the more you walk in this stuff and the more you see what God does in us, There's an anointing. John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 says that we have an anointing from the Holy One. And He teaches us all things. He tells us that we know all things. That's amazing. Deep down inside of you, in that brand new man called the new creation, you know some things. In fact, the Bible says if you're listening, He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. Isn't that amazing? Pretty awesome truths. Let's continue on. What shall we say then to these things? Come on, look at your Bibles this morning or look at the overhead. Some of you need to shout this out. Some have been through some tough stuff. Some of your stuff been beat up, knocked around. Don't understand why. I want you to be lifted this morning as we read, what shall we say then to these things? If God, come on, shout it out this morning. If God be for us, come on. If God be for us, who can be against us? One more time. If God be for us, who can be against us? One more time. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's pretty awesome. He that spared not His own Son, verse 32, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Since you got saved, have you made some mistakes? Have you blown it a few times? Have you hurt people's feelings? The devil will take those human failures that are provided for through the grace and mercy of God. How many know if you really understand the love of God, one of the most important things you can learn is be quick to repent and quick to forgive. Don't let anything right away. Quick to forgive. Quick to repent. I learned that a long time ago. Be quick. Father, I don't know where that came from. But have you noticed, though, that there are people that will say, ah, look at you, you're a hypocrite. You call yourself a Christian? And I remember how it was horrible. Years ago, 20 plus years ago, I remember being in a set of cow pens, sitting on a little yellow dun that kept just tightening up. And I know some of you that don't know anything about cowboying and all this kind of stuff. Just bear with me. You'll get the gist. I was parting in the gate. Coming by, and every time I needed her to really get with it, she'd tighten up, lock up. I'd taken that a few more times, and I was getting madder and madder by the minute. And here I was on a crew. They knew. I'd made it clear that I was a Christian. Not only that, we'd helped start a church, and some of them had figured out that I was a pastor. Here I am sitting horseback. And I'd taken about all I could take all of a sudden, wheeled around in my youth, took about 3 jumps to the catwalk where I picked up a short hotshot prod, stuck it in that pony's rear end, and had her spin around as hard as she could a few times. And I said, that'll teach you to get your A around. And all my buddies looked at me and went, now, is that the worst cuss word in the world? Of course not. But in the context of who I was claiming to be, I froze as a solid blue ice cube in a cowboy hat. I didn't say a word. They didn't say a word. But you know, 4 years later, a guy that had never been in church, when I met him, he was 19 years of age, came to our church after watching for 4 years. Today he's in ministry, 3 children, has a ranch of his own. Tremendous guy. David Yates, one of my favorite buddies. He said, Lee, you sure weren't perfect. But he said, you lived what you believe. And he said, after a while, I wanted to know your Jesus. I'll never forget the Sunday that he said, what time's church start? And I about fell off my horse. I said, 10 o'clock. He said, I'll be there. He came, sat in the back like a wooden Indian. I thought, he'll never be back for this craziness. Never. He was back next week with his fiance. He, his fiance, and his mama all received the Lord that morning. That's been almost 20 years ago. Solid and strong. Amazing what God can do in spite of us. But have you ever been accused of stuff because of your failures? Maybe some of it we deserved. Here's what the Bible says. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. That's pretty awesome. Who is he that condemns? I don't know about you, but my walk with God is more and more about not doing stupid stuff. Are you with me? So that people have a reason to point and say, you're a Christian, then what is that? So that my light, who I am in Jesus, shines brighter. Are you with me? Bright enough to cause my humanness to fade enough for Jesus to be seen. How many know we're always going to be human? We need him. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. But you're not just human. It's human. You're a new creation. That makes all the difference if you receive Jesus. For who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. 35. Who shall separate us? Come on, people. Are you seeing that? Who shall separate us from the love of God? You know how much he loves you? The world is so confused about love. The world is so confused about religion. The world is so confused about God. And some of us have helped that confusion along through believing and embracing and acting in ways that we were taught were religious but actually have nothing to do with the work of God. How many are glad for Jesus today? What about the rest of you? How many are glad for Jesus today? Oh, man. The difference that he makes. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, or nakedness or peril or sword? For it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Can you say with me today, I am more? Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm more. This is what the Word of God says about you. I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. John put it this way. We love him because he beat you to it. He first loved us. When we were yet dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians says he loved us and translated us. And do you recognize the Verizon, ringtone? Yes. Me too. Now forget about it and let's move forward. Amen. All right. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Aren't you glad today for the love of God? I want you to turn to another passage of Scripture, if you would. Turn with me to Matthew. I believe it's in chapter 22. Okay, I've got the wrong. Give me just a moment. Figure out where I'm at. 29. Matthew 14. Thank you. Somebody had a phone. Matthew 14. Now, how'd you like to have that on TV, Chris? That's funny. Matthew 14. 29. Let's back up to 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Can you say, wow? Can you say it backwards? All right. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway, right away, Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now you think that's wild? Hebrews 13:8 says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know anybody personally that's walked on water. I know a few crazy preachers that have tried to do that. I've heard all the jokes. But here we see an example of Jesus walking on water, and he's teaching us something in this process. I'll tell you what, I've seen and been a part of, as the son of a missionary, some incredible, incredible miracles in Central America. One of the greatest revivals to ever sweep Guatemala during times of tremendous war and revolution. We were there between 1978 and 1982. I graduated from high school there. I've seen bodies laying in the ditch, heard mortars and machine gun fire going on in the high mountains where we lived right across the river. I've seen all kinds of stuff that I wouldn't mention in here, too gruesome to repeat. But in the middle of all that, incredible, incredible revival. My dad, just a few years later in Honduras, Honduras was preparing to fall to communism. They had already given up. My dad was in a meeting with a group of pastors, about 30-some pastors and ministers, and he said, listen, I just came out of this in Guatemala. We do not need to submit to this. We can stand in prayer. And they looked at him like he was crazy. I'm not saying that was my dad alone. I would never be that ridiculous. But he, among just a few others, stood and believed God and challenged that group. While men of God snickered and laughed, I mean, pretty much snickered and laughed at their ridiculous. They said, we need to prepare to go underground. This is going to be like Cuba. This is going to be like Nicaragua. And as they stood, one of the main guys that was leading the insurrectionist against Honduras, a girlfriend who he had, to put it simply, dissed, went to the right people, and just like that, bam, 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 the bottom brick out of the stack was pulled out. And what could have been a horrible result for Honduras got completely turned around within just a few days. Now, there's a whole lot to that story I won't get into, but it was major, major news down there and for us in the U.S. Something that could have never happened. It wasn't might. It wasn't military power. I believe it was prayer that knew exactly where the heart of the issue was, knew what brick to pull, and what would cause the thing to collapse. As a result of that, great revival began to sweep Honduras. I saw incredible miracles. I'm here to announce to you, he is the same for you today as he's always been. I remember a dear pastor, a friend, I never did know him personally. My dad knew him. Started out, our own people here that have been with us have heard this story before, but just for those, just to refresh us and encourage you, and then for those that haven't heard, a dear friend during this time of great revival headed out from San Pedro de Sula, Honduras, north coast, further to the west, over towards Guatemala. Started out across that lower coastline, foot of the mountains, between the foot of the mountains, during a time of incredible flooding, torrential rains, hurricane-type force winds, started out not knowing what had happened the day before when all this had happened, started out for a meeting in La Ceiba, Honduras, which is further to the east. Back in those days, it was about a four-hour run. They said that the bridges had been knocked out. There were cattle piled up dead in river after river along that ranches. I mean, farms had been decimated, everything. Horrible. Homes swept away. I don't remember how many people might have been killed in that thing, but it was a really, really bad time during this time. And they had planned a meeting, a crusade, and a meeting over in La Ceiba. And this guy flew in from out of the country. All the lines at that time, this is when nobody had cell phones, so I'm aging myself, nobody had cell phones, and they could not get through to San Pedro Sula to tell him, don't come, don't try to come, it's dangerous. That evening, as true story, that evening as they were setting up for the service, this man showed up, all smiles, ready to preach, and they were all stunned. They were shocked. They said, how did you get here? He said, came down the highway, just singing and praising God, praying about the service. Came down the highway. They said, well, what are you talking about? There is no highway. He says, oh, there's a beautiful highway. He said, in fact, a couple of those bridges, as I got close here to San Pedro, a couple of those bridges looked like bridges from the States. They were beautiful with lampposts over the side. And he said, I came right through in record time. They just stood there and looked at him. They knew what actually had happened. They said, no, there's no bridge like that. We've never had a bridge like that. And all the bridges we have are knocked out. He says, no, I'll show you. Tomorrow, I'll show you. I came across. They went back out to look at the rubble and the boulders and the wreckage. That's a true modern-day story of a guy who cruised right on through, had a tremendous meeting, lives transformed and changed. That's a modern-day book of Acts, personal connection, not something I read about, but personal through my dad. How many know he is the same yesterday? And listen, that may be a really big, big, big thing for you. But right there in your life, whatever you're dealing with, some of you that have been walking through us on this topic, walking with us through this topic of faith, I pray that you will continue to allow yourself to be challenged by the love of God and the Word of God, to begin to stand and believe that what He said is true. And today I want to remind you, we are more than conquerors. Can you say it one more time? We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Aren't we glad for the love of God? Now Peter is watching Jesus walk on the water. Now, let's just look at what happens here. Straightway Jesus spake unto him, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, did you hear how I just skipped right over that? That's how it felt like I was a kid. When I was a kid, felt like when I was a kid in Sunday school and they were doing the flannel graph. It just went, it was such an unreal thing. Let's stop and back up. Did you see and hear what we just read? This isn't a story. This isn't a Bible story. This is an account from a document that, by the way, according to secular studies, this Bible that you hold in your hand is 10 to 12 times more reliable than any other known historical document. Oh, but Pastor Lee, those are copies. Uh-huh. And Jesus quoted from a copy called the Septuagint and did miracles. So let's be careful. There's a lot of people trying to call the Word of God into question nowadays. Let me tell you something. The Word of God, according to the psalmist, is forever settled in heaven. His Word has not changed. You can take it to the bank on every point. He is faithful to His Word. Can you shout amen? Okay, so right here, we see Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, if it's you, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water. So now we have not just Jesus walking on water, but we have hairy-legged, foul-mouthed fishermen walking on water with a single word command, Do you think Peter had a flair for the sensational? What in the world? In that moment, think of the love and the trust, the yearning. Think of what's going on there when he says, Lord, if it's really you, bid me come. And he heard his master, the one who would say on the night that he betrayed his master three times amidst cursing, the very one that Jesus would say to this same man, Peter, Satan has sought to sift you like wheat, tear you to shreds, but I have prayed for you. The biggest failure would be the biggest preacher on the day of Pentecost when 3,000 came to the Lord en masse and started the church that we're now a part of. I don't know about you, but I got a chill bump or two myself talking about it. So here's the deal. He said, come. What's going on here? There, he had walked with this Jesus enough to know he was the real deal. There was a trust. How many know true love is born? True love is born of trust. And the love of God, man, Peter couldn't even grasp yet. He wasn't a born-again man yet. Scripture makes it clear that didn't happen until after he had died, was buried, and resurrected, and ascended to the Father. This is where they that believed would be born again, made new creatures. That new covenant had not yet been ratified. But here he was, and Jesus says, come. And he responds to the voice of love. You say, how do you say that? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And John says, God is love. And love, standing on the water, said, come. And a man who was yearning for identity, yearning for purpose, yearning to have a reason to be alive, responds to the voice of love, steps out of a boat and begins to do what God does. Now here's the deal. We don't know how many steps he made. We've all seen the pictures but a number of you have seen the pictures in Sunday school. It looked like he walked 8 feet or 10 feet. Does it say here how far he walked? No, it doesn't. But at some point, so was it 10 feet? Was it 30 feet? I don't know about you, but if he did 2 feet. Okay. How far was it? How far was it? Scripture says he walked on water. He did what God, manifest in Jesus, love himself, bid him come. And he trusted. Do you know that the Spirit of God is still saying to believers all over, if you'll trust me, I know there is a sea out here of fear. There's a sea out here that would cause you to believe that you're a victim in this world. There's a sea out here that rises and falls and says that you can't make it. There's a sea out here that rages and a storm that rages that says that even though God said it, this just seems to be too much, too great. There's a sea out here laden with unforgiveness. There's a sea out here laden with people doing what they've got to do to survive, even if it means hurting others. There's a sea out there that is called the world we live in. And Jesus said, if you'll trust my love for you, you can walk on water. Come. That's pretty amazing. He says, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. We always tend to, I don't know what it is about human nature, but we tend to focus on somebody's failure because then it kind of equalizes the terms so that we don't feel like such a failure. And this kind of feeling is rooted in fear. But 1 John chapter 4 states that perfect love, come on, are you here this morning? Perfect love casts out fear, all fear. Isn't that amazing? Perfect love casts all fear. I'm not going to get to where I want and need to go today if I don't move along here. Are you getting something out of this? I pray that you are, in Jesus' name. As we grow in love, by which faith that moves mountains works. That's Jesus' promise to you and I. We tend to focus on the failure. And many of us have read this story, and what is prominent in our mind. How many in here would be willing to raise your hand and admit with me? You ready? A little test. That your mind, when you read this scripture, when you hear this, your mind tends to highlight his failure. I mean, anybody join me in here in being honest? When you read that, your mind tends to highlight the failure. That's the human side of us. I want to take you back and show you what God wanted us to see. Before his failure, he walked on water. Because somebody said, come. Now, in his failure, we notice that Jesus said, well, stupid, that's what you get for being so high-minded, thinking you can be like me. Sink, sucker. Isn't that what he said? In his failure, and immediately, Jesus didn't go, well, let's see how much faith you got. Just flounder around there like a drowning rat for a little bit. I'll teach you to think you're like me. I'm just going to let you gurgle a little bit and blow a few bubbles. And then at the last minute, we're going to make sure you know I am God and you are not. And immediately. Can you say with me, immediately? Oh, I'm so glad. He's slow to anger. Swift to mercy. This is what the Old Testament writer said about him. For he is a good God. I don't know where that's gone in the church today, but I'm telling you, he is a good God. James declares every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. How many are glad for God today? How many? Okay, so look at what happens. He says, it says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? It's a tall order. He immediately helped him, but he challenged him. Think about what just happened here. You were walking on water, and you can again. If you hadn't doubted, you'd still be there walking. This wasn't the end to anything. Are you with me? He said, you can do this. Now listen, I'm not asking anybody to go out and try to walk on water. We got enough crazy people in churches doing. What I want you to do is, on the waters of your life, the troubled waters of your life, he has said, come, trust me, trust me, trust me, believe. Keely, in this context, and I've taken probably way too long to get there, in this context, he challenges the people of God to walk in love by faith. Your toughest need is not your bills, not the doctor's report. I'm thankful that the Word of God provides for all of that. And if we stand in faith, we can believe God for great things. And even when our faith is failing, he'll come alongside and find a place to agree with us and help us become victors in life. I'm so glad for that. But our biggest need, the biggest struggle, is this thing called receiving love from him, returning that love back to him, and in that process becoming more like him and loving others. All the epistles challenge us to love one another. This isn't popular. It doesn't seem to fill churches up lately, but I believe that'll change. Because this is the main message of the gospel. I'm not backing up on miracles at all. You've heard what I've said. We've had tremendous miracles in here. But God can help us to love supernaturally. Now, here's the thing that I want to talk to you about. Now, I wanted you to show that. Now, look at the vulnerability here of Peter. And I want to talk to you in the few moments that we have, or at least open up the subject, about the vulnerability of love. Now, I'm touching back to a couple of weeks ago, and I want to bring that back now to the center in context of what we just looked at. When we say vulnerability of love, if you are thinking about things in terms of our humanness and the way the world thinks and the way the world operates, that means that, how many of you ever heard this? Love is blind. You ever seen some people who were blind with love who later found out that that infatuation cost them precious years, cost them precious time, hurt them desperately because they were seeing with their emotions and making decisions strictly with emotion and were not seeing anything else? Vulnerable. How many know that vulnerable in normal, human, everyday, worldly terms means you're weak? So when somebody in a church says, man, we need to walk in love, instantly we hear in the background that we become vulnerable in love. In fact, I've preached that for years and I've heard other people preach it. We need to become vulnerable in love. Now here's the thing, if we don't define what we mean by that, see, there's a lot of people in the church today. You know that people are leaving the church in the United States by the droves, while the church in China is exploding in revival. People in America are leaving the church by the droves. Churches are splitting. People can't get along. And behind all this is the body of Christ en masse. Everybody has backed off, isolated themselves. They've become protectionist of sorts. They all claim certain things. They claim they love, but they're afraid to truly become vulnerable in love. Why? Because the people have been taught wrong. Vulnerable does not mean I'm a drying leaf barely hanging onto a branch in the throes of winter winds waiting for my demise as I drift and fade into oblivion, helpless to do anything about it, vulnerable and weak. Many people in churches, we're asked to be vulnerable in love, and that means that we can't ever say anything about anything. That means that we follow with blind obedience. That means a lot of things that are very, very negative. Vulnerable, weak. Now, here's the deal. Love. Now, those of you that have been with us, you understand a little bit more, probably did before, and got a greater understanding. Some maybe heard some of those things for the first time, but we talked about the Bible speaks specifically of four different kinds of love. We looked at them. Remember? Eros, sturgio, phileo, and lastly, the love of God, the agape love of God. Now, the world's love is based on emotion. It's based on what I'm going to get out of that relationship. It sounds like this. Oh, I just love that preacher until he says something we don't like. Oh, I just love that church until we have a conflict. Oh, I just love that restaurant until the waitress cops an attitude. One of them. Just one waitress. Oh, I just love this or that or the other. The world's idea of love is all about reciprocation. I'll do for you, you do for me. It's all about that. Are you with me? Human love. Now listen, that's not all bad, but it has to be kept within the confines of Scripture, and it has to be based on the only kind of love that is truly legitimate, and that is the love of God. Today, there is what the world perceives as love. We can see that, and I'm going to break it down very simple once ago, and I know I'm reviewing. And then over here is a different kind of love called the love of God. That never fails. Now last week, if you were here, we looked at that in the Amplified Bible in 1 Corinthians 13. If you haven't read it yourself, I would challenge you to look at it. But we see what the love of God looks like. This is what I call bulldozer love. It's, I don't care what you think or feel or whether you give back or you love me back. I don't care. I absolutely am going to overwhelm you with the love of God. Now, here's the thing. Let me go back to this vulnerability thing. Vulnerability in a human sense, in a human kind of love, I'm with you, people. It hurts. It's dangerous. Have you ever heard this one before? Nobody can hurt you worse than the one you love the most. Nobody can hurt you worse than the one you trust the most. And we get hurt a few times and we go through some things, or maybe we've been through a thing in another church or in another relationship or a past marriage and now we're in a new life, but the enemy will try to conjure up the past, bring back the past and reintroduce it in your present to keep you looping and doing the same things over again, reintroduced with new faces, new situations. But because we've fallen prey to the world's system of love, we're vulnerable. Okay, now here's what I want you to see. There is no true love outside of God. Love comes from Him. In fact, He is love. Romans 5:5 says that when we were born again and justified by faith, that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. How many believers we got in the house this morning? See, the love of God was put in your heart. There's a new kind of love called the agape love of God that is supernatural. We're glad for the love of God. It's a love that He gave us. And last week, if you were here, we talked about loving by faith. The world's love, or what the world calls love, loves, as we already said, because we're getting something back. What happens when that ceases to take place? We fall out of love. God's love in a relationship, any relationship, if we understand that it is by faith, when the feelings and emotions disappear, when things begin to fade, are you with me? It can stand and be strong by faith and love by faith. And that kind of love conquers all. Are you here today? True vulnerability comes from fear. 1 John 4 tells us that perfect love, how many have thought that the opposite of fear was hate? I mean, the opposite of love was hate. Actually, hate is the result of fear. We got a huge problem in our nation right now with what is called racism. Some of it is true. Most of it is conjured up by people who have political agendas and have somewhere to go with it. And it's political mechanisms creating issues and causing people to hate and divide. And our nation right now is in a huge mess. And it's sad that even a lot of the church has fallen prey to a lot of this nonsense. Racism and hate comes from fear, a fear of the unknown. That's where you're truly vulnerable in the world sense. When you haven't let the love of God eradicate an understanding and drawing, eradicate fear. My youngest son asked me not to share this story. He said, Daddy, please, I'm sharing this with you because I'm just seeing God do so many things in my life. This is my little cowboy. This is the one that, I hope someday he'll return to his cowboy roots, Sally. But he's right where God wants him to be, and he's growing in God. And I can't even imagine, right down there in the middle, downtown L.A. He said, I've taken a few times in the daylight, using my head, using wisdom. And he said, walk down through there. And he said, God has led me, not just to everybody, but led me to certain people. He said, I happened upon a guy one night that said something to me, and I walked over to him, and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to such and such a convention." It was a big Hillsong's convention. And the guy said, "Oh, really? So you're a Christian?" He said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "Well, I'm a believer too." And Luke said, "I don't know what it was." He said, "I just felt so much love for the guy. I sat down." He said, "I realize this is fraught with problems and potential dangers. And man, down, if any of you have been down in downtown L.A. and seen Skid Row, man, it is wild." He said, "But the love of God overwhelmed me. And I sat down and I began to talk to this guy. And as we began to talk," he said, "the love of God began to flow." He said, "Dad, as I was sitting there, I began to notice that his shoes were completely ripped." He said, "I just bought a brand new pair of boots for the conference, dress type boots." And he said, "I'm sitting there noticing his shoes." And he said, "In the middle of that process," he said, "I bumped him." And he said, "Well, you know God loves you." He said, "Man," he said, "I do." He said, "Well, how did you get here?" And the guy began to talk to him about the different things. And out of the blue, old Luke said, he said, "What size shoes do you wear?" He told the thing. He says, "Guess what?" He said, "That's the same size I have." He reached down and began to unlace his shoes. Well, that kid sat there and cried in amazement as Luke pulled off his own boots. He said, "How are you going to get home, dude?" He said, "I'm going home in my socks." He said, "I don't live that far." He said, "I've got other shoes at home." He said, that kid sat there blown away. He was able to share the love of God. Do you think that seed... I found out about somebody last week, and I'm not going to call any names or embarrass anybody, but somebody came to me all fired up. They were at a local restaurant and found out after the effect that somebody that's been in these services walked up and paid their tab before they had a chance to recover. Fired up, excited, the love of God flowing and doing and moving. The Bible says the world will know us by our love one for another. Boy, I wished I had time to develop this. Where does the time go? I guess I've always got next week, don't I? I love this subject. See, vulnerability, meaning weakness, is not found in love. And I want to show you that just a little bit before we go. There's no weakness in love. A worldly sense of vulnerability comes as a result of ignorance and fear. Young ladies who are vulnerable fall prey for the world's concept of love. They'll fall prey to somebody who will take advantage of them because they are needy. They don't feel like they have any value. They feel like because of the world's system that their value is found in what they look like. Please forgive me for being frank, but in their dimensions, treated like a piece of meat. And this is the way the world looks at women, especially in this day and age. And young ladies grow up around that. They find the stashes in grandpa's or dad's, sadly, or home, of pictures and things, and these ideas are developed in their mind of what it means, what you have to be loved. The world's idea of love is twisted and sick and harmful. There's only one love that causes you to be able to breathe deep and say, "I am somebody, I am of value, I have a cause." Let me remind you of 8. God saw me before I was born. God called me. God justifies me. God has made me worthy and given me a purpose to be alive. But see, when you don't know that, when fear still has a hold on you, vulnerability can take us far away. Jim Jones led how many hundred people in taking? How many? 900 people. Because they were vulnerable. Why? Because of fear. He was able to, very charismatic personality, to convince a group of people that they needed him. That if they would follow him, he had the answer for their fear of the future, their fear of world. And people can play on our fears, and that's where we're truly vulnerable. You're not vulnerable in love. And I'm talking about the way the world thinks of vulnerability. Are you following me? It would be confusing. The world's, you know, young guys. I remember years ago, his name was McCorkle. I don't know if you remember this. He came out with an infomercial, real estate, that you could, for just a few hours a week, become a millionaire. He had a box that was cost $90, and if you ordered his box, it gave you everything you needed to be able to do $90. This guy went to prison for fraud after he made multi-millions of dollars off of suckers who paid $90 to a slick-haired dude in South Florida selling his little wares. Why? Because people are afraid of the future. They're afraid of getting old and having nothing. The enemy will use fear to cause us to be very vulnerable in life. Let me tell you something. He who or she who has put their faith in the name of Jesus, if they will trust him to meet their needs, if they will trust his love for them, if they'll see him on the water saying, come. Are you with me? We don't need to fall prey to what the world offers. Vulnerability isn't because of love, it's actually because of fear. Now, when we speak of in the spirit realm, over here in the love of God for believers, what we mean by the vulnerability of love over here is this. We can love on purpose. Let me ask you something. As Jesus hung on the cross, you could say in that moment, he was vulnerable because of love. But I want to ask you something else. He made a decision because of faith. Nevertheless, he said in the garden, thy will be done. He saw you and I. John 17, he prayed for those who would believe. That's us. And he still prays for us. This is where we started at the beginning of the service. Think about that. He made himself vulnerable, but he did it knowingly, on purpose. It was his decision as he hung between heaven and earth and willingly gave his life. We've got some soldiers in here. They made a decision. How I honor those who have served. How many, where's Jim Crane? How many times did you, was it Afghanistan? Iraq. How many times were you over there? Three different times. Guys like this that willingly gave their lives for this nation, for our freedom. How many of you have family that gave their lives? We got young men in here that gave their lives for listen, they made a decision to become vulnerable for love of country, love of what this nation stands for. How many know that's not weakness, that is strength? When I am weak, he is made strong. And the more we trust his love for us and his love in us, that doesn't make me weak and vulnerable in the sense of the world system. See, a lot of people believe that to become a Christian makes you a pansy, makes you a sissy. You just get not, because you're a Christian, you can't ever say nothing about anything. You can't ever, you just this milquetoast. Now you just have to love everybody and you just have to take whatever hits you. Listen, Jesus said if you're preaching the gospel and somebody strikes you, for the sake of the gospel, turn the other cheek. Do you call that weakness or strength? And not only that, there's a time to not turn the other cheek. Scripture also says a man that doesn't take care of his family is worse than an infidel. So if you sneak up to my house and you don't announce yourself, and I tell you several times, because I don't hate you at all, but because I love my family and I love my children, and you're breaking in through a window and you're not telling me, I'm going to ventilate you with a 357. I know that's politically incorrect, but I love them enough, I'm going to protect them. Now, I'm thankful that my faith isn't in a gun, and I will never need to use my guns to protect my family because my faith is a high tower called the name of the Lord. I'll never have to do that. You mark my words. Fear will get in you and make you think you have to have that stuff to survive. I love my guns. I love to hunt. I have no problem with protecting myself. I hope that I would never be caught in a place where I needed to protect somebody else and couldn't do it. That's my purpose for Carrie. Whether that's political, maybe somebody will never come back. Oh, the pastor, he likes guns. Yeah, I do. I love them. Do I walk in fear and need my guns to live? Absolutely not. If I forget it, there is no fear. There's a concern. Could I be somewhere and have made a difference with somebody? I'll never have to do that for me and my family because my trust is in the Lord. Okay? I'm thankful. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for he is with me. His word comforts me and strengthens me. Are you with me? Okay. This thing of the world's vulnerability is truly not a love thing, but it's a fear thing. When we get the love of God on the inside of us, we can love by faith on purpose. A soldier goes to the battlefield for love of country. He makes a decision to make himself vulnerable for us. Do you call that weakness or strength? Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for a brother. That's something that is done consciously, on purpose, at will, by faith. So many people have backed out of the idea of loving others, loving inside of a body, because they've been taken advantage of. Do you know how many times I've been taken advantage of as a pastor? Do you know how many people that have proposed they needed help? We had one gal that came into this church. She said she was from a big church in Northern California. By the time she was done, she had bilked people out of $1,100 out of our congregation and flew the coop. You remember that, Sally? You don't remember that? This has been back a number of years ago. And I've cautioned our people. There are going to always be people who will prey on churches, and they'll come in and claim they have a need, and they'll have these stories. And if I don't have this right now, I don't. And you're wrestling with this thing of compassion. Are you following me? But you got to be very careful. And I've encouraged people in our church, if somebody that is not from here and you don't recognize them, they tap you like that, bring that to the attention of the pastor or the leaders, and we'll find out what's going on. And if you want to give to them through the church. We have a process that will protect you. But be careful. You understand? But there have been times when I even knew I was going to be taken advantage of, but I felt, because of the love of God, that I needed to love anyway. Bought them a sandwich, took some time, knew they were putting the schmooze on me, but that seed, they couldn't get away from it for several years. Is that weakness or is that strength? I want to challenge us today to take another look at the love of God on the inside. It's the supernatural love of God that came into you as a result of the new birth. There is the world's idea of love, and then there is real love that comes from God, agape love of God, in which we can clearly see. Now, once again, it's 11:45. I told you this week we were going to be talking about wise as serpents, harmless as the doves. It's all right here. But I didn't get there, and I don't think at 11:45 you want me to. My apologies, I'm doing the best I can. But how many can see that this groundwork is necessary? Because listen, as we'll look at, and I've got to close. Did you get anything out of this today? I know this is a really different type sermon than we normally get in here. Hold on. I promise you, I appreciate that, but that's not what I'm looking for. I want to make sure that when you walk out of here, you can take the Word of God and begin to step on a higher level of strength and authority and love. Are you here today? I love what's coming out of my boy. Unafraid, but very aware. Are you talking? Vulnerability that's not weakness because he's needy, but because he's been filled, and being filled with the fullness of God, there is a confidence and a strength that is willing to take a calculated risk of love out of the position of strength in the behalf of somebody who is hurting. So much of what is in the church and what is preached and taught is about my needs being met. I want to encourage you today that as we begin to examine Scripture and find out that the greatest gift in life is that I allow God to use me to be a blessing to somebody else. Paul put it this way. He said, in our weakness, to the Corinthians, he is made strong. I've found that in those places of vulnerability, now we're talking about God's, this good side, the vulnerability of love, the love of God, true love, that when I have willfully and on purpose loved by faith, it was in those places, in somebody's little home. I sat over here just a few blocks from this house with a guy who was gripped by alcohol right here in Chino Valley. It was somebody who had received the Lord as a kid. Don't worry, I'm not judging you. I'm not saying that if you, that's between you and the Lord. I'm saying that this was more. Whatever, that's not my argument this morning. Don't even go there. This guy was gripped by a spirit of alcohol. You say, what's a spirit? It's a demonic spirit that used his weakness to destroy him, to almost destroy him. I got the call from the parents. And it was in a place and a time, I didn't know them real well at that time. We were getting to know each other. I didn't know this young man hardly at all. I knew of him. But I watched this guy as something took over his body. Something took over his persona. His voice changed and dropped. He fought in another voice and said, you need to get out of here. I'm going to throw you through that window. I'd back off and begin to pray. You may not understand this. Some of you are new, but I began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And when I would do that, he would get soft and gentle again. There was a battle that went on that night. And finally, I got a hold of the real him, not this other entity that was trying to take over his life. As he made a profession of faith with tears running down his face, after I prayed and rebuked that thing in his life, he fell asleep on the floor and slept for hours clear into the next day. And when he got up, he was a changed man. I didn't say all of his problems stopped, but that spirit that had control of him and was running his life lifted and it's gone. It was in a place of being vulnerable in love on purpose, not a place of weakness. I, by faith, put myself in a situation that may not have been comfortable, but put myself there because of the love of God. How many know in here, if you know Jesus, that love of God is on the inside of you. And when you are weak in the sense that I can't do this, I know it, but by faith, I'm going to love and honor what God says in this situation. How many know that it's in those places he is made strong? It's in those places where the greatest miracles take place. It's in those places where young couples that have never gotten along and have struggled and on the point of divorce, they get a hold of the revelation of the love of God. Wait until you see where we're going. Wait until you see what the Word of God says about how to do this. It'll cause you to rise above and not fall prey to what most of the world is. God loves you. He loves your marriage. He loves your children. He wants to bring peace into your home. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. But we got to learn to trust him. And man, I got to stop right there. I could go on for another hour. Can you tell? I don't even know where to stop. All I can say is this. Right there where you're sitting, Father, in Jesus' name, as we continue to move forward in this subject, once again, I remind myself and I remind my hearers, this mountain, it looms over your life. This mountain that represents your failure, that casts long shadows on the landscape of who you've become, has no right to be there if you've put your faith in Jesus. Jesus said that if we had the faith, that we had the faith of God, that we could have the faith of God, and that if we would speak to that mountain and not doubt in our heart, but believe the things that we said, we would have whatever we said. Be thou removed and cast into the sea. He said that that kind of faith operates, flows from, grows in, emanates from the soil of the love. Not this weak, vulnerable, in the world sense, needy side, but this over here, the love of God, that is the strength of our life, that can stand clear-minded, strong in spirit, purposely make a decision to stand in the gap for somebody else and expect something to happen. Amen. To stand in the gap and believe God for great things in our own lives, the love of God. Father, today, for your people, we thank you that the love of God is opening, unwrapping to greater degrees. Father, I thank you today for the strength of your love in our lives. That makes all the difference. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. You guys pray for me as we move through this. This is not the easiest thing I've ever done, but I feel compelled, strengthened by the Holy Spirit, to move through and do the best I can to lay this out. And I trust that it is doing that very thing in your heart by the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet today as we're dismissed. Have you been blessed? Glad you came to church?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands together all over the room. Jesus, how we love you. How we love you back. How thankful we are for who you are in our lives. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that by faith we can step out and love the unlovable. I thank you that by faith my life counts in making a difference in this world. I thank you that by faith I refuse to hide in my private little shell, that I can take your word and begin to step out and believe you for great things in my life and in other people's lives. Father, I thank you that these hands that I have lifted, Paul said, lift up holy hands. Holy hands, think of that. Lift up holy hands without doubt and without wrath. He was saying that those who see this, there is no fear. There's anointing in these hands to make a difference. Jesus said, these hands will lay sick on those that are struggling and hurting, and the supernatural power of the love of God will break the force of that thing in their life. Father, this isn't for slick-haired, snake-oil salesman preachers on TV. This is for every believer that will believe and dare to trust the love of God on the inside of them. Father, these hands we lift today, we receive of your love. Teach us in a greater way how to love. And for these things, we give you thanks. For faith that moves mountains, that works by love. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted amen. God bless you as you go. Altars are open. We're here to pray for anyone who has a need. Have a wonderful week in Jesus. Bring somebody to church with you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week in Jesus' name. God bless you as you go. Come on, let's sing it.